Oh, glad to see everyone this morning. Definitely like to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to speak before you. It's definitely an honor and a privilege to do so. I always want to make sure that everything that I preach is according to God's Word, so if something doesn't come out right, you'd be my friend to let me know so. But pulling my sermon from 2 Timothy today. 2 Timothy and chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. And if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he completes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. The title of my sermon this morning is Success is Being. And we heard three characters in this, in what Paul's wrote here to Timothy. But I want to start off by saying that we know that Jesus Christ is called the Master Teacher. And his techniques are studied by even those who don't even believe in him. One of the most useful techniques that he uses is that of parables. Jesus was able to relate to his audiences through these parables. And parables are not foreign to the apostles' teachings either. The apostle Paul uses these three parables in these verses to make his message pretty clear as he writes to Timothy. He uses these three images to convey a message of spiritual importance. Paul begins in verse 1 by telling us to be strong. It says, You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But Paul didn't stop just there, telling us to just be strong. Timothy and all Christians are to be all these characters that are in these verses, and to find others that would also achieve that standard as well, that they might be able to teach them and to be able to teach others. Paul is describing successful servitude in these verses. So the first short parable that Paul talks about in verses 3 and 4 is that of a soldier. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. A soldier is such an apt characterization of a Christian. We must make a stronghold in the lines of truth. The boundaries are clear as we read in 2 John. In 2 John in verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and Son. Now turn with me to John 8. John 8 and verse 31. If then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." As a soldier in Christ, we know where our lines are, and that is that we are in Jesus Christ. We are to guard the boundaries of his doctrine and keeping ourselves in the doctrine and false teachings out of the doctrine. We, however, are spiritualists in a spiritual warfare also. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 10. No, sorry, 6. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having guarded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So here, again in Ephesians, it's telling us to be strong as Christians. We need to be prepared and stand for spiritual warfare. Being a soldier also requires diligence. Can you imagine a soldier that might fall asleep at the post? Or is so preoccupied during the war that he's daydreaming in the middle of battle? We require diligent effort to succeed as soldiers and as Christians. We are not to be entangled or preoccupied of the things of this world. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So let us not worry about the things of this world. But we also need to be able to prove ourselves diligent. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Romans 12, verse 11. Not lagging and diligent, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. And then over to 1 Peter chapter 3, 14. 1 Peter 3, 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats or be troubled. Here, if we suffer for the Lord, we're told that we are blessed. Blessed. So now that we've talked about a soldier back in 2 Timothy, Paul also talks about an athlete. In verse 5 it says, And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. There, the famous Boston Marathon had to implement a new rule after Rosa Ruse cheated her way to victory in 1980. Each of the competitors have to wear a small tag that houses a computer chip that is called a championship. The chip is a homing device that allows each competitor and tracks their movements as they go through the course, so they can keep track and make sure everybody crossed all the checkpoints. So why all the bother? Well, because the race is won by the one who crosses the finish line, but not only the one who crosses the finish line first, but the one who competes in the race the right way. Rules are important, like in Luke 6:46, where it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do all the things that I say?" We can't take shortcuts as Christians. We have to run the course and run for as if we're going to win that prize, which is heaven. And we have to run according to all the rules. In Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, it talks about, "He who does all the will of my Father." He who does all the will of my Father in heaven. And in Matthew 28:19, it says, "All things I have commanded, all." So we must know all the rules. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 13, it says, Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And then down in verse 16, it also says, "Take heed of yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." So we need to read and take heed of God's word. We need to continue to make sure that we run the race like we're running to win. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 1 it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So we need to make sure that we are running with endurance. So the third short parable that Paul's writing to Timothy is in verse 6, back in 2 Timothy. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of their crops. So here he's talking about a hardworking farmer. The one who has done the work will reap the benefits. The taste of success is foreign to a sluggard man. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4, it talks about the lazy man will not plow because of winter, and then he will beg during harvest and have nothing. In Palestine, they work the fields in October and in November, and it's not yet winter there. But because it's cold, that a lazy man won't go out to do the work because it's cold in those months. But the reward far outweighs the work. The words of Jesus, "Well done, my good and faithful service, enter into the joys of your Lord," which is found in Matthew 25:23. That's what we're striving for when our work is done. Turn with me to Revelation 14. Revelation chapter 14. verses 12 and 13. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. When I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." So we will be able to rest in that place with our Lord and Savior. Not all soldiers receive an honor, or all athletes will win the prize, and not all farmers know the taste of a bountiful yield. But the hardworking ones do. So we must train hard and compete according to the words of God, and work without excuse to gain the prize. We need to be patient and careful sowers of the seed to taste the blessings of eternal life. Diligent, direct, and defined effort equals success. So if we can put these three characters into our lives and to continue to grow upon them and study upon them, they will help us to reach our goal, which is in heaven. If we can help you in any way as we stand and sing the song that has been selected, please come forward.